What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm your host, Andrea Renee, joined by Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. It's been a while, Andrea. I know. The dream team has reunited. I'm in. That's what I call us. I don't know if anyone else does. But
Who even needs that Greg Miller guy, right?
Not me. That's for sure. Very loud.
If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, your source for video game news in the morning here Monday through Friday on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you are one of our fantastic live viewers, we appreciate you keeping us honest at kindafunny.com/you'rewrong, where we screw up the facts. You should let us know. Just the facts, though. None of that editorializing stuff. But if you are listening on podcast services, thank you for listening. Maybe you want to leave us a rating. Maybe you want to subscribe. Or maybe you want to subscribe at youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We appreciate the support wherever you consume this show. Today, Tim and I are hosting, but later in the week, there'll be other people. A whole bunch of people. Like Gary Witta. Gary Witta.
Jared Petty. Greg Miller will return.
On Friday.
I think you and Greg on Friday.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time since that combo.
2 weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
Somebody, I think it was Nicholas, sent me a DM showing all of the host combos and how many times each combo has hosted together.
Stats.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We've done a lot more episodes than you think about since it's a daily show. Like, I remember, like, hitting episode 100 of Game Over Greggy was such a big deal. Episode 100 of this happened in like 2 weeks. That's how math works.
Yes, Tim, 5 days a week means much. You get to 100 much quicker. We do have a few pieces of housekeeping before we get into the news. The Gamescast, where Greg talks about God of War, spoiler free, is now live for everybody at youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And this episode is going to be brought to you by Hims, which we'll talk about later. Tim, is there anything else in housekeeping you would like to add?
It's just a little editorializing of my own that I want to do about the Gamescast God of War. I thought Greg did an excellent review. It was Greg Miller's review of God of War on Gamescast. Me and Jared kind of gave our impressions because we were only a couple hours in the game at that time. Still haven't beat it. Still working through. Really, really digging it.
So good.
How far are you? Did you beat it yet?
Rolled credits.
Ooh, okay. I appreciate the embargo restrictions that were given on this review, of it coming out so, the review being so early before the game coming out, but the very strict no spoiler direction that Sony gave, I think is very smart, because a lot of the times they're kind of like, hey, you can say whatever you want, but like looking through this, they're like, you can't say this, you can't say that. And it's like, I like that everyone's on the same page. And like, there's some people's reviews that are more spoilery than others, but I feel like this is the type of game that you should not spoil for people. And there's more than enough that can be said about the quality of the game without spoiling things. And I think that Sony did a good job with telling us what we can and can't say.
Yeah, I applaud their PR team for going to great lengths to be of assistance. And they even offered to get on the phone with us if they were like, hey, if you have a question, if it's a spoiler or not, happy to talk it out with you guys, which you don't see very often. You know, a lot of times PR will give you the code and then you sign the agreement and the embargo and then that's it. It's done. But I love that they're going to great lengths to take care, because you really, if you talk about, there are some major things that a review should probably include, but if you talk about it, it's going to be a giant spoiler for people. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone's reactions come Monday next week, once everyone has the weekend to play.
Yeah.
And then we can all start talking about it. I can't wait to spoiler cast this game.
They're going to have a crazy weekend this weekend.
Because Labo comes out the same day. We'll be talking about Nintendo.
And new J. Cole album, get hyped. But yeah, okay, go for it, Andrea. What?
Super Troopers.
And Super Troopers.
Yeah.
What a weekend, ladies and gentlemen. 420 all day, every day.
What a time to be alive. But now it's time for some news. There are four items on the Roper Report.
Kevin?
A baker's dozen! Sorry, I just...
The cadence got lost in your head for a second.
The cadence was different. It really threw me off.
I know. Good. I'm sorry. Good. I don't have the rhythm booming, of Mr. Miller.
The booming ghost howl.
The first item on the Roper Report, Anthem Leader promises more focus on storylines. So this was written up by Colin Campbell over at Polygon. BioWare says it's focused on delivering a big story for its next game, Anthem, acknowledging that the developer ought to have spent more time on narrative in its last game, Mass Effect Andromeda. The Electronic Arts own studio general manager Casey Hudson delivered a blog post earlier today, in which he, in this, today being late yesterday, in which he talked about the heightened importance of story. Hudson has spent much of his career at BioWare working on a big role-playing games including the Mass Effect trilogy. Following a stint at Microsoft working on HoloLens, he came back to the company last summer following the departure of previous general manager Aaron Flynn. In his blog post, Hudson wrote the following. When I returned to BioWare last summer, Mass Effect Andromeda had just been released and there was a significant movement among players asking for a story DLC that would answer questions surrounding the fate of the Quarians. As you know, we were not able to deliver story DLC for Andromeda. This was as frustrating for us as it was for players, and it was something we knew we had to solve in future games. That experience ultimately became a defining moment in refocusing BioWare's mission. We need to delight players with new experiences and innovation, but we must stay focused on the importance of the world character and storytelling elements that players expect from our games. And our games must be designed to continue delivering new stories and experiences in an ongoing relationship with players and the world we're evolving together. It's in that spirit that we are working through production on Anthem, a game designed to create a whole new world of story and character that you can experience with friends in an ongoing series of adventures. It will be unlike anything you've played, but if we do it right, it will feel very distinctly BioWare. So, I was on the fence of whether or not to include this in the Roper Report today because it's not exactly like a hard news item, but I think it's important because we've talked about Anthem. I'm a personal giant BioWare fan. I love that Casey Hudson came back to work on this game, and we still have so many questions about what this game is, when it's coming out, how are they going to implement the games as service that we keep hearing about from EA, knowing EA's track record with microtransactions and, you know, loot boxes and all the fiascos that they've had over the last 6 to 12 months. Matthew Clem wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can if you want to be part of the show, and said, "What's up, Tim and Andrea? So yesterday, BioWare General Manager Casey Hudson put up a blog post talking a bit about Mass Effect Andromeda and also about Anthem, saying it will feel distinctly BioWare. Andromeda had many issues, and I understand why they scrapped their DLC plans, but still, I loved the game despite its flaws. Mass Effect is my favorite series, so I'm a little biased. Hey, me too. My question today is, do you think BioWare will bounce back from Andromeda? If Anthem still has that patented BioWare story and characters and gets received well, will the sour taste of Andromeda start to go away? And after Anthem, and presumably Dragon Age 4, what do you think the future holds for BioWare? BioWare is far and away my favorite developer, so I'm excited for Anthem and whatever they have in store next, and it's great to see Casey get ahead and talk to the community of fans candidly like this. Love the show and hope you all have a great day. Thanks, Matthew." So, what do you think, Tim?
There's a lot going on here. Yesterday, we did another EA story where the new something or other. I forgot what it was. It was a COO, one of the coups.
You guys were talking about Patrick Sutherland's promotion.
Yes, exactly. And we talked about how, you know, he came out and his messaging still sounds very PR, but EA is at least trying to get out there and put faces to names and have people coming out and talking to the communities. I think this is kind of following along with that. Even Casey's message here, it's not the super candid thing that we would want, but right. I do feel like it's a step towards what we're looking for. And I feel like it's very important for EA to do their best to create a sense of community, not just from the audience that plays the games, but within the developers and the people that they have created, the creators, right? And me and Greg yesterday went on this whole thing talking about E3 of how EA can kind of try to change it and, you know, kind of have the people come out on stage and really have personality there. I think that this
it's
is a
still
good,
there. You're gonna have to kill it eventually.
It's whatever.
You There's a small flying there. Insect in the studio for people who are listening.
I think that this is a good step, and it makes me a little less fearful for Anthem, because I feel like it's easy to look at Anthem and be like, oh man, we're hearing a lot of bad things about this, and you see Mass Effect Andromeda, but it sounds like it's obvious they know that there's issues, and it sounds like they are working through them. Will that end up working out? We'll have to see. But him understanding the distinctively BioWare feel, that is a true thing. That exists. And I feel like that magic never left, even with Andromeda, it sounds like. It was just a lot of things around that caused a lot of issues. I think they can turn the ship around. And I think that if Anthem is as good as he's explaining it can be, I think that we're going to be in a really special place, and I feel like that could even bring back Mass Effect one day from the future of BioWare.
I think so too. BioWare is one of those rare studios that has such a passionate relationship with their fan base, and I think it's because their games are so narrative based and kind of elicit this emotional experience from you while you're playing them. And not every game does that. You know, some games are more for fantasy and for fun and just goofing around with your buddies. And I feel like, the BioWare games overall kind of tell a larger emotional story. And that's why people love them. And that's why people like Matthew and me love Mass Effect as a franchise, because there were real relationships that you could connect with there. Mm-hmm. This statement from Casey makes me feel like Anthem could be farther away than I hope it to be.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, after what we saw happen with Andromeda, please take as much time as you need. I don't care if you have to drag it out like Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be amazing. I want to be wowed. I want another Mass Effect 2.
Well, I mean, you know, especially coming right off of God of War, I feel like, you know, there is a chance for things to just really be revitalized and changed in this big way. And I think that, you know, Anthem is a new IP, but it is being based off what people expect from BioWare to do. And playing God of War, there's a moment in the first moment you play the game, you have this axe and you can throw it. And it's like, oh my God, I feel like Thor in a video game. You throw the axe, the way that you can make it come back to you, it doesn't automatically come back to you. It's totally controlled by you. It's like, this is a rad feeling I've never felt in a video game. Watching the Anthem footage, it looked like Iron Man flying around. And if they can create a gameplay experience that makes me feel like Iron Man flying around, add on top of that, all of this, like the things people love about
distinctly BioWare
stuff, and a story and narrative that makes sense in a modern 2018, 2019, 2020 era of what games as a service playing with friends online can mean. This could be a revolution in video games, or it could be way too ambitious and fail.
That makes me so scared.
One or the other. It won't be in between.
Oh my gosh, you're so right. I never thought about it that way. I really hope that it's ambitious and that they pull it off. I'm rooting for you, BioWare. Don't let us down.
It's been the most excited I've ever been about a games as a service game. Just from the little we saw at E3, I was like, it wowed me. It looked so cool. So I hope it's good.
We're all keeping our fingers crossed. Item 2 on the Rover Report, Monster Hunter World expands with new Elder Dragon, Kul'vtarath. I probably am saying that wrong. New limited time quest type. According to the Capcom Unity blog, hunters hope you've been enjoying the nice, relaxing celebration of the Spring Blossom Fest. As that special limited time event comes to a close, we already have your next big assignment waiting for you. The Siege of the Kul'vtarath. With the conclusion of the Zoramagdros and the Nergigante investigations, the path is now clear for the arrival of the majestic Elder Dragon. We'll let you investigate more details about itself directly, but what little information the Research Commission has gathered indicates we need to deploy a new hunting strategy. So, Enter the Siege is a brand new limited time quest type that requires collaborative efforts of all the hunters in the same gathering hub, which can house up to 16 hunters. Each hunting party will split off into groups of up to 4 hunters each, but will be working together to investigate and hunt down the same Tarath. So this is interesting. The idea that 16 players are all working together for one objective. I'm into this.
Is it normally 4?
Yeah, normally your party is a max of 4 and that's it. But clearly here it states that your party will still be 4, but those 4 groups of 4.
That's interesting.
Will be working together.
Kev, are you still playing Monster Hunter World?
I'm out.
What do you think about this, Kevin?
Because I was too much time I was putting in it. This seems cool. It definitely seems interesting. I don't know if this is going to get me back in. It really depends on if, you know, people hit me up and are like,
if the best friends are like, Kevin,
or just Greg.
They'll do it. Or just Greg. Yeah.
This goes live on April 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, along with our second free content update, and will be live only for a limited time. It will return at a later date, but details are scarce at the moment, so assemble your squad to take full advantage of this golden opportunity. They also have on the Capcom blog a photo of the new Palico armor set, and it's pretty cute. If you want to go look at it.
Those are the cat things.
Yeah. My favorite part of Monster Hunter, the Palicos.
The new Mega Man one looks cool. The little 8-bit Mega Man guy.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one yet.
It's like, it's a pixelated Mega Man, but in 3D.
Just Mega Man. I still never got all my watcher lenses to complete my Horizon set.
Mm.
Yeah, no, because I got distracted with Far Cry.
Really?
You really cared about it.
I did. I was really mad that I missed it. And then apparently I got busy. Sorry, guys.
Me and Greg were talking about Monster Hunter World yesterday, and I was kind of saying that there hasn't been a games as a service game that has come out and got it right from launch and just kept going. And he was like, oh, what about Monster Hunter World? I'm like, fuck, you're totally right. I love that they nailed it from the get-go and are just continuously pouring content into this game and updates that seem like they're substantial things that people want. It's not just like bullshit. This sounds interesting if you're involved. Like taking the from four players to 16, that is a game-changing experience. Adding all the fun, Mega Man, Aloy, like that type of stuff, Ryu. That's cool. You know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Good job, Capcom. You did
it. Keep it going.
All right. Rolling on here to number 3 on the Roper Report. Konami has announced a new Castlevania game.
Yay!
But there's a big butt here, you guys.
I usually like big butts.
According to Eurogamer's Wesley Inpool, rejoice, for Castlevania is back, bigger and better than ever. Take that, you heathens. You dared to doubt the powers that beat Konami. Shame on you. But wait, Castlevania, Grimoire of Souls, was announced by Konami on its official website and is a mobile game exclusive to Japan. According to Gamatsu, it's a new action game without a release date for now, but you can sign up for the Japanese closed beta test. Expect an email around mid-May if you do so. Grimoire of Souls' story is set in a future where Count Dracula has been completely destroyed. There was a peace, but a letter delivered to Genya Arikado has set the cat among the pigeons. Count Dracula will be resurrected, reads the letter. Oh no. Genya Arikado is the protagonist and Lucy plays the role of his support. You can also use characters from previous Castlevania games, and there's a bunch more details over on Eurogamer if you would like.
I want to give a shout out to Wesley Yinpool, the guy that wrote this, for introducing me to the phrase, has set the cat among the pigeons.
It's a great
definitely into that. Man, this is disappointing. Really disappointing. I don't know what the most disappointing part of it is. I don't know if it's the multiplayer. I don't know if it's the fact that it's a Castlevania game. It's not a Castlevania game. I don't know if it's the fact that it's only in Japan. I don't know if it's the fact that it's on mobile. All of this stuff is a big pfft for me. I'm not a hater of mobile games. I'm down for mobile games. But they need to be able to work on mobile. Castlevania, not a franchise that's going to work on mobile. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's an interesting notion, this idea of taking traditional console titles and then trying to port them without making them specifically for mobile. But Space Ghost writes in and says, why does Konami hate Castlevania so much? With the announcement of Castlevania Grimoire of Shadows, I almost allowed myself to get excited before reading the whole announcement. iOS, boss rush mode, awful art style, the focus of multiplayer. It's so frustrating to see a beloved IP like Castlevania, one that is so integral to video games, be pissed away by this. My ultimate question, will there ever be another great Castlevania game, or should we simply let it go and play Symphony of the Night for the 1000th time? Thanks, Space Ghost. And thank you, Cool Greg, for this. Cool Greg, you're in the rotating segment later. So if you want to take a sneak peek at the show notes so you're ready. But thank you for the coffee.
Yeah, so play Symphony of the Night again. You're going to have a great time. I feel like there was a... If it's not the glory days, it definitely was the good old days of Konami and Castlevania on the Game Boy Advance going into the DS, where good Castlevania games were annualized. Like, that's such a crazy thing to think about now. And, you know, we kept going through with that, and everybody was so happy. Circle of the Moon launching on the Game Boy Advance, one of the best launch games on the system. A system that has a lot of very quality games, and even through its life cycle, when you go back, it was one of the better ones. We go into, I want to say, E3 2010, and they announced that XBLA Castlevania game that... Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah,
let me know.
Look it up.
I'm just going to throw words together. I think it was Harmony of Despair.
I'm just going to throw words together.
Maybe it's
together.
Just like, you know, Flute Section of the Doomed. I don't know.
It is Harmony of Despair.
Okay. Okay.
Crossover platform adventure game, part of the Castlevania series, first leaked in 2010 and then officially announced for Xbox Live Summer of Gaming 2010.
All right, great. But was it multiplayer? That is the thing that I want to know. Because for some reason, I remember the map being really big. And there being multiple players.
There is a co-op mode that supports local multiplayer.
Great. Okay, cool. So I remember that happened. And I remember that was like not horrible, but not super well received, like the Game Boy Advance and DS games.
Oh, and the 360 version allowed for internet co-op, but the PS3 version only supported local.
Cool. I'm still waiting on Castlevania Flute Section of the Doomed. Maybe that's just me. I don't know that we'll ever get that back. Konami's in such a shitty place right now, if I'm being honest. Like, with the way that they handled Metal Gear Survive or whatever that was. I don't know. Like, I can't believe that game came and went. Like, I can't believe it actually happened.
I mean, you can believe it, though, right?
Well, no. I believe that it wasn't a hit, but I can't believe that it happened. Like, I thought that it, surely it'll be canceled at some point. Like, when we first heard about it at Gamescom, got that really weird trailer, everyone's like, mm-mm. Not for me.
Too soon, right?
Yeah, like way too soon. And then it took too long for the game to be talked about ever again. And then I remember at E3 last year, they brought us to play it and we're like, uh-uh. And everyone there was like, mm-mm. Then the game came out and everyone was like, mm-mm. So I don't fucking know. Then there's pachinko machines and all that stuff. I want Konami to be back. I want to stop hating on them. I do think there's a way for them to figure this shit out and get away from all the bullshit. I don't know if that means selling off all of their IP to people that actually care, or if it just means getting a new class of people there. And again, going back to the EA conversation, having that new class come out and be like, hey, guys, we know it's not us. You know, we love Bomberman. We love Castlevania. We love Metal Gear Solid. Like, we're going to do this because we care. And I feel like the community will listen. I feel like there's gamers out there that want these games.
I don't know if Konami's in that place anymore. I feel like they're so invested in the money making that they have in their pachinko machines in the Asian markets that I don't know if they are committed to the passion of those franchises that used to be there. And I don't know if that's because it's an executive leadership shift in school of thought, if the people at the top who are orchestrating the vision for the company at large are just like, hey, this isn't where our business lies anymore, or if it's because there's just an incentive to do other things. Yeah. It's kind of heartbreaking to think that those franchises will never once again be what they were. I like to live in a fantasy world that maybe someday Konami and Kojima like have come to the table and Konami's like, we're not going to make anything else with this series because clearly like it doesn't mean anything to us. How about we just give it back to you? Jeez. Do you think Kojima would ever
one
even entertain
more
that?
Time. I'm getting too old for this shit. I would love one more Metal Gear. Just fucking just do it, Kojima. Let's fucking go. I'd be all about that. But yeah, that's
fantasy.
Wishful thinking.
It's a fantasy world
that we're living in. I do think that we'll see more Castlevania sooner than later. I feel like there's a good chance that Simon Belmont will be in Smash Brothers.
Okay.
And I'd be very happy.
What
about
a new Castlevania exclusively on Switch?
Dude, it would make too much sense. It would make too much sense. Get the team that made the DS games, the GBA games, get whoever's available, you know, get fans that work on, like, dude, Sonic Mania it. You know, I guarantee there's a group of people out there that do ROM edits and level mapping for Castlevania games that could make a Castlevania game better than the guys that make Castlevania because they care that much and they know. Let them make this. Give them this opportunity. It won't be that much of an investment, and I guarantee they'll make money back on it. Look at Sonic Mania.
Word. Last item on the Roper Report, Nintendo files patent for
never
communication between separate displays. So Lucy O'Brien over at IGN wrote this up. Nintendo
we call
has
her the Lion.
The Lion?
Lucy O'Brien, the Lion.
That's a great
that's
moniker.
Fantastic.
She's a wonderful person.
She is.
Nintendo has filed a patent for what could be a new system that will allow communication between different screens. First spotted by Digital Trends, the patent is for a game system with a plurality of information processing apparatuses that are capable of communicating with each other, meaning information will be able to be shared across different touchscreens in close proximity with one another. The images in the patent show screens at various horizontal and vertical rotations, sharing parts of an object such as a banana to make a complete object, and real-time movement such as a bowling ball rolling from one screen to knock down pins on another. The images suggest the number of screens can be daisy chained and can be even physically separated while retaining their positional data. Though this patent could lead to nothing, it's still exciting to think about the possibility such a system could introduce to co-op play. Nintendo has already begun to experiment with Switch multi-screen communication in its Toy-Con Garage software for Nintendo Labo, as seen in the video below. That's, of course, over on IGN.com. So, this is interesting. Obviously, patents, sometimes they actually come to fruition. Most of the time, it's these big companies just covering their bases with their ideas.
Okay, yeah. This is interesting to me because back when the Wii U was first announced and everyone was like, what the fuck, rightfully, we didn't know if it was a add-on to the Wii or if it was a new console or what they were doing because they just showed the gamepad and they were like, what? Okay. And like the system looked very similar to the Wii. So it was like, is that just like some weird like dev kit? Like what's going on? And then as time went on, we got a bit more information. But when you saw that the first trailer that's like the tech demo for the gamepad and like the ninja stars and all that. I remember back at IGN, like we did breakdown videos of it and we're like, oh, it's interesting. There's only one gamepad being shown. And there was the big question right. of, will there, if someone else brings their gamepad over, will you guys be able to play games together? Because that could create some really interesting gameplay, like very unique experiences when you have the DS style dual screen thing going on with your TV and the two screens, but each person kind of can only see information that the other one can't. Interesting stuff. Obviously, that ended up not happening, and it wasn't capable. Then we move over to the Switch, and it's like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And we see the there was like an image early on that came out of like how you could play Bomberman or Mario Kart with a bunch of us just playing on our own screens together. And that's cool. Like, even if it's two people playing split screen on one and then two other people playing on their own, they can all play together. But the problem is it still doesn't allow for that original thing we were talking about of two people playing on separate switches playing on TV, because if the Switch is in your hands, the Switch isn't in the dock, which means it can't be the TV. I think this could be really interesting of if there's some way that it can display stuff on the TV that interacts with what you have, whether it's like a some type of Bluetooth connection, some science mumbo jumbo, I don't know, connected to the Switch or it built into the Switch, connect something, a USB thing to the dock that then allows some type of wireless images going on just to be on the TV, like via HDMI or whatever, so that the two people can be playing on their own Switch. That could be really interesting.
Yeah, it reminds me of a distinct moment I remember sitting in the auditorium, one of the last E3 presentations Nintendo did, watching that Wii U tech demo, seeing them put the Wii U gamepad down and have like a golf ball there, mm-hmm. and then them doing a swing with like the Wiimote, and then the golf ball going from the gamepad onto the main screen. And like, we never really got that moment from the Wii U generation. No. That was totally just like a tech demo thing that never came to fruition. And I think that is a really exciting opportunity for Nintendo to maybe use this kind of a patent mm-hmm. to do some really interesting stuff from a gameplay perspective. And Nintendo has really innovated in the hardware department really consistently over the last like 3 decades.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Wii U was the one exception where it was just like, this was change for change's sake.
The promise was there.
Yeah, but we never saw it. We launched with Wii Sports. That was necessary. Wii U didn't get its moment until Star Fox Zero at the end of its life cycle, and Star Fox Zero sucked. So it's like that's the biggest problem is Nintendo never had something that they believed in. We played that robot smashing game or whatever using the gamepad, and that was cool, but now it's coming to Nintendo Labo and it never happened on the Wii U. They just never had the proof of concept like mm-hmm. that. It's not tech demo, it's a game experience that makes people go, oh, I get it. You look back into the Wii, obviously it had Wii Sports. You look back to the DS, that system has countless versions. When that system launched with Mario 64, that wasn't what the DS was for. The DS was for Ace Attorney or turning the system on its side or blowing into the microphone or like, you know, using the touch screens to play WarioWare and do different things. Like, that system had so much promise, and I feel like a lot of developers were like, we can do something really interesting and different with this system that we can't do anywhere else. The Wii U never had that.
Some hard truths from Mr. Tim Gettys.
It's true.
But we will keep you guys updated on if this patent goes anywhere. I don't know if it will. If it does, maybe E3 we'll see something. Probably not. Maybe too early.
I think it's a little too early, but I can imagine maybe next year. I don't know. I feel like there will be a revision to the Switch eventually. I think this year is way too soon. I think next year is guaranteed. And I think that this type of thing could come with that.
Definitely. I'm going to read this kind of touching moment that Corey wrote in and says, my mom passed away a couple of years ago. It was sad, but it has made my dad and I very close as time goes on. We were recently at Best Buy, and I had been talking to him about God of War and the relationship of the boy and Kratos. He actually said he wants to watch me play it, and I've never shared my gaming with my parents, so I was excited for him to be interested. When we walked around the gaming section and saw an advertisement for God of War, he stopped and put his arm around my shoulders and saw the game came out this Friday. He said, son, This game comes out soon, but if I wanted to know what else was coming to the mom and grab digital shops, where should I go?
My favorite part of the show, every damn day. You got me, Andrea. You got me. I didn't see it coming. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday is the answer to that question.
You can't make the stuff Corey, up, you guys. Thank you, Corey, for writing in. Out today. Drifter. Oh, wait. Sorry, guys. I almost forgot the jingle.
We wouldn't be able to go on.
Out today, Drifter Entertainment announced The Rise of the Gunters, a new arcade-style co-op virtual reality experience inspired by Steven Spielberg's action-adventure Ready Player One is now available for HTC Vive on Steam via the Oasis beta. That was a lot of words. BAFL, Breaks Are for Losers, is out on Switch.
Great name.
Casey Powell Lacrosse 18 is out for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Windows PC. Don't Starve the Mega Pack is out for PS4 and Xbox One. Gunhouse is on PS4. It's Spring Again is on Switch. Yakuza 6, The Song of Life is out on PS4. And Yakuza 6, The Song of Life After Hours Premium Edition is also out on PS4. You excited for Yakuza?
No, I'm not.
Not your thing?
Not a Yakuza guy, no.
That's all right.
I know a lot of people out there
are. Not every game has to be everybody's thing.
A lot of people out there are really excited about it. Between that and God of War, it's going to be a good weekend.
Indeed. New dates. Bandai Namco announced that Dark Souls Remastered is being delayed on Switch. The game will be released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 25th of May as planned, but the Switch version has been pushed back to, quote, this summer.
Kind of a bummer.
Don't know what that means. This summer. Could mean late as September.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is the type of thing, don't fuck it up. If it needs more time, give it more time. If especially when you're looking at a lot of the older ports that the Switch has, when they come out and they're not good, or even newer ports like the NBA games, when NBA 2K came out and wasn't good, when WWE 2K came out and it wasn't good, it's like, well, you just lost your chance at that, and you might have fucked that whole franchise forever on the system. People aren't going to trust it.
Yeah.
If Bandai Namco comes out and puts a good port on it, similar to Bethesda with Doom, Doom was good. That means people are going to be interested in Wolfenstein, you know? And I think that Bandai needs to knock this out of the park.
So take your time, I guess, is what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Playgrounds 2 announced the sequel from developer Saber Interactive will be released for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch this summer. You guys can find out the full details about that game over at the PlayStation blog or at IGN.com.
Very cool. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, they definitely see the dollar signs and they're like, we need to keep this going. One of the top downloaded games on the Switch, one of the top 10 downloaded games on the Switch last year. So I'm sure they're like, hey, let's cash in and keep this going. But arcade style basketball games, I think, are very important to video games.
Absolutely.
And I like that we're still getting some. I mean, will it touch the heights of NBA Street Volume 2? Absolutely not. But I'm glad someone's trying.
Independent Canadian developer and publisher Digital Extremes will debut the first Warframe of 2018, Korra, in tandem with Sanctuary Onslaught, a totally new team-based survival-style game mode in the Beasts of the Sanctuary update this week for the PC version of Warframe. Beasts of the Sanctuary will arrive on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 this May. Ubisoft has announced their E3 press conference will be held on Monday, June 11th at 1 p.m. Pacific time in their traditional time slot.
Classic Ubisoft.
It will once again be at the Orpheum. Love
Classic.
That venue.
Yeah, it's great. I love Ubisoft's E3 presentations.
So much fun.
And I love the Orpheum is beautiful, and they take advantage of it. They use that space.
I really liked the way that they changed it up last year. As much as I, you know, loved the formats before and getting like Usher and, you know, Jason Derulo and all these people out.
Yeah.
I think having a focus on the developers, Aisha Tyler, great. Love her banter. But like, you could tell that it was feeling like a little forced near the last couple of years. I like that they, you know, are utilizing guys like Chris Waters, who has such a long history of doing on-camera work, to have him working with the developers to be like, hey, these are the people that are making these games, and we think that they should get some time.
They should work on doing off-screen footage outside, though. I don't know if that was the best call that they've made.
Yeah, that was a choice.
Yeah.
Maybe do direct feed of the gameplay instead of showing on-screen. But
I, me and Gray were talking about this again yesterday, but I just feel like everybody's E3 conferences have been just getting better and better over the last couple years, and I expect a lot out of Ubisoft this year. You know, they've just been rising up, and I think that this year they have a really good opportunity to kind of come up and be like, hey, we are not just one of the big guys, like we're one of the biggest guys, and we have a lot to say, and we have a lot of wide range of quality titles, and we're excited to talk about them.
I am just hoping against hope that they don't have canned co-op banter when they show the Division 2. I'm like, please just make it real. Don't script banter between the people playing. No one talks to their friends like that. God, hey guys, I just got a legendary drop.
Bravo, Fox. Where's Ghost 3?
But where please, please show me more from Beyond Good and Evil 2. That little sliver of a tech trailer was not enough.
We know Splinter Cell's coming, but give me Prince of Persia. You know what I mean?
I'm excited for all the Tim Getty's Gatorade Get Hype moments.
All our predictions. What's been fun on Gamescast, I think it was 2 weeks ago, on Reset Era, there was a thread of people making crazy E3 predictions. So I just like read them all, and me, Jared, and Greg just went through and like ranked the possibility of them happening. And oh man, I get so excited for some of these things. That'd be so great. Bring the hype on.
Just Gatorade, a reminder, I came in second last year.
Oh yeah,
second place next to Greg. Pretty proud of
that.
I
don't care what place I came in. I had fun.
You're here for the
and
fun.
I am the winner. Decade of Dreams. Keep it going, boys.
Deals of the day. Jared Kotishian wrote it and said, another deal of the day, along with the giant BioWare store sale that's happening, there's also a big Bethesda store sale. So I believe this is part of ThinkGeek closing down their involvement in each of these individual publishers' stores, which somebody else wrote into me about, but I was like, I didn't have enough time to fully research that. But over in the Bethesda store, they've got sale prices, actually some pretty great sale prices on a bunch of stuff from Fallout and from Elder Scrolls. So you guys can head on over to store.bethsoft.com to check those out. And then there is one more deal of the day from Billy the Door. He writes in, you can take more of Amazon's money with Twitch Prime, which, by the way, if you're looking for a channel to use your Twitch Prime subscription on, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We would greatly appreciate the support. And you get for free. It's included in your Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. Give it to us if you haven't given it to somebody else already. Bits are on sale right now for $500 for $1. That's just $1 for 500 bits. Limit one per account. Just enough for a tip on the morning show.
You should do that. Then it'll save you $4. You can say some rude shit to Nick, and then he'll respond to you.
Exactly.
I recommend calling him a fogey.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks. Call him a fogey.
He doesn't like being called a fogey?
I don't know.
Like an old fogey?
I'm sure he doesn't like that.
Let's try to break fogey back.
Andrew, I want to get to reader mail, but before we do that, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Hims. Do you want some help keeping your hair? I'm sure you do. If you're losing it, you're going to want that help. Let me tell you all about our sponsor, Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. I'm very worried about that. I'm coming up on 35 any day now. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair that you've lost. Do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first? 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss. Nick and Andy have been using it. They love it. They've been using it for a long time. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits or have to do that stuff. You guys can get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to this doctor or a pharmacy. You can go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Keep your hair a better way to live.
Thanks for that, Tim.
You're welcome.
All right, reader mail.
Give me some of that good stuff.
Excuse me. Yeah, there's some good ones here. I apologize for the coffee, and I'm recovering from bronchitis. Feels like everybody is
that
sick right now.
Sounds horrible. It's the not fun dinosaur.
Yes, but good news is I'm on antibiotics, so I'm no longer contagious.
Okay, good.
I mean, generally, if you have a bacterial infection, yes, you can pass it to people.
Science, bro.
Wait.
I'll read the first question.
You do it, Tim.
Hey, Andrea. So Tim got his Spyro announcement. Mike Huber got his Shenmue announcement. What announcement would make you go bananas? B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Billy asks.
I think I would go bananas for two things. We'll do one impossible thing and one realistic thing.
Andrea, anything is possible. I'm letting you know. Final Fantasy VII Remake. That'll never actually happen, and it still might not. Crash Bandicoot, the original trilogy. It's here. Spyro, come on. We're going to get Onimusha at this point. We're just going to. All right? What is it?
I want a Mass Effect trilogy remaster for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC.
You think that's impossible?
I do.
That is the most possible thing of all time.
I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they will.
You need to dream bigger, Andrea. I expect more from you. What is the possible one?
the next Dragon Age announcement at E3, like, I want to see like a trailer.
Yeah, that's possible. That
would make me go bananas because I love that series and we haven't heard from them in a while. I know that they've said, hey, we're working on it, but like, I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Yeah. All right. We need to work on your hype. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
You can read the next one.
Harry J says, I've been an Xbox fanboy since the original Xbox was released way back in the day. But with all this praise of God of War and the incredible list of exclusives, I've been seriously considering getting a PS4 just to play these amazing games. I would mostly like to try to buy one around Black Friday when they have bundles and good deals, but do you think it's too late in the console generation to justify buying a new console? Is the release of a PS5 too close for it to be a good purchase? Would love to know your opinion on this. Side note, Xbox VR E3 2018?
Ooh,
I don't think
that's a hard pass. No.
I guessed that for last year, and I feel like if they're not in it now, they're not going to be
until
in it.
Next gen, potentially.
The ROI just isn't there.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Get a PlayStation 4. If you have the means to do that, I'd absolutely recommend it. They're very cheap at this point, especially if you get the slim.
Right.
PS4 Pro, a bit more expensive, but if you have a nice TV and a nice setup, I highly recommend it. There's just too many games that are too high quality now. The fact that you think a game on PlayStation 4 is better than Horizon in God of War, that should say everything you need to know. The exclusives on the console are utterly insane, and there's way more to come. We still have Last of Us 2. We still have Death Stranding. Like, wow. Spider-Man. Oh my God.
I know.
I have a feeling that PlayStation 5 will be backwards compatible in some sense. So I think that you could wait and then be able to play a lot of these games. But I think you're going to be waiting a while. So if you have the money and have some time to play through some of the best games of all time, I say you hop on.
100% agree. Just do it, Harry. Ryan writes in and says, hey, Andrea and Tim, I'll get right to it. On recent podcast, Andrea has mentioned that she has played God of War on the easiest mode to make sure she could get through the game and give her impressions. My question is, when big outlets review games, are they required to beat the game on normal difficulty or does it not matter? And if they do beat it on easy, do you think that they should be required to share that bit of information with their audience? I personally don't care, but I have always wondered how taxing it must be to try to beat a large open world or an RPG in time for an embargo. Love the podcast and keep up the good work.
From my experience being at IGN, people are not required to play through on normal.
No,
but
there's no requirement.
I think it's good practice to say if you played it on easy, because it goes without saying that you're playing on normal. I feel like the difficulty levels matter for a lot of games, obviously, but there's some games that matters for less. And I feel like the more open world you get, most of the time the combat isn't necessarily the thing that matters that much, and so I feel like difficulty levels kind of become more of a personal challenge than anything you actually need to do. Now once you get into trophy hunting and all that, that gets kind of crazy, but obviously games like Dark Souls, that matters. Devil May Cry, that matters. Halo, that matters. But I feel like all of those are examples where I can't. There's no reviewer.
They're combat
I know
heavy games.
That
yeah.
wouldn't bring up what difficulty level they played on if it wasn't normal, and that works both ways. I know a lot of reviewers that play through Halo and are like, "Hey, the right way to play this game is at least on heroic. And legendary is like the optimal experience." But there's an understanding that not everybody is going to be doing that or capable of that. But I feel like if you're playing on lower or higher difficulty, you should mention that in your review.
Absolutely, I agree. I don't think I've ever come across anybody throughout my entire career that was coerced or told that they had to play it on a specific difficulty level either. That's just not really a thing, because if you can't enjoy the game throughout the review experience, it's going to color your opinion of it. So I don't know why PR or marketing would be like, you have to play it on this. Obviously, like in the difficulty settings, the highest difficulty in God of War says, give me God of War. Mm-hmm. Like the alt, this is like the God of War designated difficulty is the hardest one. And the one I played on was called Give Me Story. And I was like, that's what I want. I want to see this story more than anything else. And now that I've played through the game, I desperately like him. Itching to go back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to up the difficulty and really get into the weeds the cool of the skill tree system.
The cool thing about God of War is at any moment you can change the difficulty and it doesn't punish you. You can just go through, and if you're having a hard time, you could lower it. If you aren't having enough of a challenge, you can higher it.
Right. Somebody had asked about something about difficulty and trophies. I chose not to include that question because, first off, we don't know all of the trophies yet, and if we talked about them, that would be a giant spoiler. I think they might be out there somewhere.
I think they're out there. I think Greg knows.
But like, and I think we don't want to talk about them before the game is out. We're not going to talk about
it, but I think Greg, from what I remember him saying, there's no missable trophies, and it's a fairly easy platinum if are going to put the time in.
Okay. So if you want to dig into that, you can, but we're not going to force you to listen to it if you don't want to. All right.
And also, there is spoilers in the trophies.
Well, that
is
of course, the
key information. Yeah. So do not look at them if you're not trying to get spoiled.
May Plays Game says, what's good, kind of funny crew? The gears of Kingdom Hearts 3 are turning, or so it may seem. On Sunday, the mobile game Kingdom Hearts Union Cross announced a campaign for its users to make their mark in KH3. This event will select the names of 300 players of the game to be included in KH3 based on a series of specific criteria, total logins, high score challenge, and event medals. In what context will these names be used? Will they be for credits or for potential characters? No one knows. The specifics of the campaign are rather vague, and some names selected may even be disqualified because they do not fit into the world of Kingdom Hearts 3. Outside of encouraging continued user interaction,
dick booger's not going to work.
It is at least interesting to think of what this might mean for KH3 and potentially wonder about what this means for where it is at in development. What do y'all think? Is it an excuse to get hyped? Is it a harbinger for further delays in the game's development, or is this simply just another effort from KH to squeeze money out of its mobile users? Thanks for all that you do and keep up the great work.
Well, there's one thing that I know that Square needs. It's help with names, because they're not good with names. So at least they're looking somewhere else for this. I think that this is just a fun thing.
What is it, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.98 Final Chapter Prologue? I screwed that up.
Yeah, you did.
I said that so many times on GameStop TV, though, you guys.
Yeah. God, 1.9.
Now I have to look it up.
Final Chapter Prologue. It was 1.9.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was close. I added an extra number.
1.8. 1.9.
See? Oh no, you're guessing it.
Because the there was a leak originally that was 1.8 and then it was going to be 0.2 Final Chapter Prologue.
Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
2.8 and then the 0.2 was the Birth by Sleep sequel movie thing that they did. Kingdom Hearts 3, I truly believe, is going to come out in the end of 2018. Will it get delayed to early 2019? Anything is on the table, but I do think it'll finally get a release date for 2018 sometime soon. I get to play it eventually. I can't talk about when, but I will be one of the first people in the world to play it, so that's exciting. With this stuff, this shit's cool. I have my name in Final Fantasy 15 twice.
Oh, look
and
at
it's
that.
A weird little novelty, but it feels good. I'm in the credits, me and Greg are, because the special thanks because we hosted the thing, which I didn't expect to be the credits of the game. Like, that's cool. And then there's also, like, somebody is a best friend out there that worked on the game, and there's, like, a book in the game that says Let Tim Host on the cover of it.
Oh,
like,
so
pretty
good.
Damn cool. So yeah, I think this stuff's really neat because like it's really cool to me. I can only imagine for all these other people that are like super fans of Kingdom Hearts, like if their name ends up in the game in some way, that's cool. But yeah, I don't think this really means anything for Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3 is its own beast. It is doing its thing. It'll happen when it happens, and when it does, we'll see.
You're not losing any of your hype, are you?
Is your steam running out just a little bit? It's not running out. I'm being realistic about what this game's going to be.
That's fair.
It's going to be a fucking mess. But like, it's going to be fun, and it's going to have a lot of charm, and it's going to have really cool moments and epic fights and all my favorite Disney characters and you know, Kingdom Hearts characters that I've grown up with, I guess, over the last 15 years. We'll see how much they grew up. I don't think they did. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just being realistic about what Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be. I feel like it's not that it's too late. I just think it's too muddled.
That's fair. Keenan writes in and says, "What's up? Kind of funny. Earlier today, I was snooping around GameStop's website and found something that surprised me. A listing for a Dark Souls strategy guide. I haven't seen a physical strategy guide in ages. And quite frankly, I don't see the need for one in today's age of easily accessible and free game facts forums and walkthrough videos. Is there actually still a demand for strategy guides? And have you guys purchased any in recent years? Thanks for the answers, and I hope you have a pleasant day." Keenan, I will say that yes, there is still a demand because my sister buys a strategy guide for every single game that she plays.
See, there's something about that, like the collectorism of it. Just like, it just feels, it's part of the experience of going to the store and getting the game and the guide. I feel like guides in recent years have kind of turned also into art books. You know,
absolutely.
And the guides will come with extra shit too.
Well, and I told the story here about how my sister and I used to go to the library on summer break because we were big book nerds. But I think that what's great about having a strategy guide at your fingertips is that you're not having to constantly search through forums, because anybody who's looked up walkthroughs knows that you trying to find the specific thing you want on YouTube can take some weeding out because people are misusing SEO. They're using the wrong thing in their titles. And sometimes you have to like scroll through a bunch of gameplay to get to the area that you want. If you've got the guidebook right there, you can just like flip to the page. You can look at the map. It's always right there. You don't necessarily have to pull up a second screen.
Yeah.
That being said, I love being able to look stuff up on the fly when I want it. But I appreciate a guidebook.
I can't even imagine actually using a guidebook. You pull your phone up. You go to Google. You type in the exact problem you're having. Just some keywords. And then next thing you know, you get a bunch of things you can click on and be like, oh, that's what I need to
do. Yeah, but you still have to sort through them. It's rare that the first thing you click on is the thing that you actually need.
You should be using IGN because, wikis. Like, they're pretty good.
No, there's a lot of great wikis out there. And I do use IGN wikis. But I personally haven't bought one in a long time. But I know people that do. But I am thinking about buying the one for God of War.
Oh.
Because I need to know where all the stuff is.
Yeah, I can't remember the last strategy that I bought. It might have been Final Fantasy X-2. Back. Yeah. I love it. And those were the Final Fantasy strategy guides. Those are collector things where they're just like Bibles of like art and all this crazy stuff. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the last one that I got. One of the worst ones I ever got that was similar to what your sister did is I bought Devil May Cry 2 and I saw the strategy guide. I'm like, I'm going to do this. So not only was I disappointed with one of the worst sequels of all time for a game that we pretend doesn't exist, but also, the strategy guide was unnecessary for a Devil May Cry game. So, I'm a fucking idiot. But then there was a time at Best Buy when there was a bunch of strategy guides on sale for 1 cent. And I bought a whole bunch of strategy guides for games I didn't even own. But that was cool, I guess.
Looks good on a shelf, right?
Yeah, until I threw them all away because they were dumb.
You're a fake gamer guy.
I'm a fake gamer guy, man.
Yeah, you are.
God.
All right, time to squad up. Tony Reyes writes in and says, "Hey, Kinda Funny crew, good day. Just wanted to give you all an update on how my Fight Lights Out progression was going. I can finally stare at my trophy list with a little more glee, knowing I finally got it. 10 long years. Thank you to Speedometer and Micken Ho 37. Couldn't have done it without you. On PS3, Tony's handle is Tay_Skull.
TAY_SKULL.
Yes. All right. Cool, Greg. I'm glad you're here. It's time for one of those rotating segments. Pardon me. Tim, you want to read it?
Brought to you by bronchitis. This comes from Scotty P. What's good, Tim and Andrea? I'm writing in for the first time today because I felt like Kinda Funny Games Daily was lacking a certain something. The Cool Greg effect. I'm requesting that today's rotating segment be Cool Greg giving us his thoughts on the new Nicki Minaj single that dropped last week called Chun-Li. It references both Street Fighter and Lara Croft, so this does qualify as a gaming-related thing, and I personally feel like it's that new hotness. Tim and Andrea, feel free to give the track a listen and join in. Keep up all the good work you guys do. Scotty P. P.S. Tim, if you're looking for a dope entrance for Kinda Funny Prom, I say you go full Beyonce from Coachella and get an entire high school marching band to play you in. Hashtag Beychella, hashtag Tim for Prom King. Oh, man. Beyonce straight up fucking killed it at Coachella. The entire set was insane. But Cool Greg, get over here.
I like when she brought out Hope.
You should probably use his microphone.
That was my favorite part when she brought out Jay-Z. He was killing it. But yeah, as far as the song goes, I'm not the biggest Nicki fan. I think this is the best shit I've seen heard from her in hella long. There's one line where she says, I've been off Laura Bancroft. You know anything about that? I don't know anything about that.
You're just trying to make some references here. You're not actually saying anything.
Weird shit. But I enjoy that. She shouts out The Rock. She's like, I got the diamonds on me. Like, I'm throwing up The Rock. So I appreciate that. And besides that, she throws some little shade at Cardi B.
I appreciate that. The video came out yesterday, and I watched that.
Chun-Li? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see that one. Is it good? Bullshit. Sounds like
it's a weird phone, cell phone shit.
Yeah, I saw that one. Okay, yeah, I did see that one. It was cool. Whatever. I thought it was new. Whatever. But besides that, I think it's the best thing I've heard from her in a long time, and I'm happy about it. And the song that came out with it, Barbie Tings, I think it's trash.
Yeah,
I agree with you on all accounts there. I feel like this is one of the best songs she's had in a long time. Don't like the end. I don't like that she's like, I'm just going to spit super hard bars forever, and then I'm going to start singing about Wi-Fi.
I know Mai Tai, so fucking sci-fi. Someone give me the password to the fucking Wi-Fi. Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
What are you talking about?
But yeah, I enjoy it, you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was the Cool Greg effect.
Oh, Tim, man. Every day here on Kinda Funny Games Daily, we ask our viewers at twitch.tv/kindafunnygames to keep us honest by going to kindafunny.com/you're wrong. What did we screw up today, Tim?
Let's see. Let's start with my boy Kebabs. While Tim was obviously being silly for the audience, the 100th episode of Games Daily was PUBG nominated for Game of the Year from November 11th, 2017. This is 21 weeks and one day after the first episode. Capitalist Pig says, regarding Patrick Soderlund, Patrick is the executive vice president in charge of worldwide studios at EA and not their COO. Blake Jorgensen is their COO, or as I like to call him, the coup. Kebabs also says Super Mario Maker is arguably the use case for the Wii U gamepad since you can't play the game without its functionality. Problem is, it came so late that nobody noticed or cared about it. That's a solid point. However, I feel like that doesn't offer anything that the DS couldn't do.
Well, yeah, because that game came out on 3DS first. And the
second. 3DS was a port. A bad port.
I thought it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. I thought it came up for 3DS first and then was ported.
Smash Brothers was 3DS first. Mario Maker was Wii U first. And then the 3DS was a shitty port that didn't allow you to download, to search for the fucking courses you want to actually look for. It was randomized. Bad mistakes. Fix it on Switch.
Man, I don't know how I got that wrong.
Dennis Lofgren says the golf ball and gamepad mechanic was in Wii Sports Club. That's true, but I feel like it still never lived up to what was shown in that original video.
True. It's debatable.
Randomer says, Tim, update from Yacht Club Games on Shovel Knight, King of Cards. The game will be released in the latter half of 2018. That sucks, but I'll wait. It's going to be great.
He's scrolling through.
Lord of Pwn says, point two was deep breath. Kingdom Hearts point two, Birth by Sleep, a fragmentary passage, and was the quote-unquote game that you played as Aqua to showcase off the Kingdom Hearts 3 engine. Which is pretty awesome, if I'm being real. That the ending of that thing, I don't want to spoil it, but if you played Kingdom Hearts 1, you should play this point two thing, because it's pretty rad. That's it.
That's it. Well, that has been another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow's host is Greg and Gary for Witta Wednesday.
Yes.
Tim, this has been fantastic.
It has been fantastic.
I look over here and see that you have four beverages.
Four beverages.
So clearly let's wrap up the show so
one's
you can
done,
go to the
one's done. Almost done. And you see here. Am I a monster? Yes.
But you are a monster.
A thirsty monster.
It's been our pleasure to serve.
Lights.